The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're continuing our expectations series today. We're going to talk about Malik Harrison and Zay Flowers, one player from the defense, one player from the offense. If you've been listening to the show, you know that format well. But joining us to talk about these two players is Kevin Ostreicher. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. I know we're in the lull period of the offseason as we record this right now in between minicamp and training camp, but two really intriguing players here, and I'm really excited to talk about them both with you.
All right, me too. So Malik Harrison re-signed as a unrestricted free agent by the Ravens at age 26 now. Still, a lot of people might think he's a little bit older than that. He's not. He just turned 26. He is going to make about $2.6 million this year, but his cap hit is only $1.3 million by some form of roster gymnastics. I'm not exactly sure how this one works. I'm sure Brian McFarland could tell me, but it's at that cap cost. It's a very good bargain. And there's no other that, by the way, there's not a deferral of $1.3 million into future years or anything like that, which would not be as good. Right. But this is it seems like a really good price.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I know that I think some people forget that Queen and Harrison were in the same draft class, Thatcher Queen. Queen was the first rounder, Harrison was the third rounder. I know a lot of people had the expectation, or at least there was the hope, that maybe those two could be the long-term future of the position for Baltimore playing alongside each other. I know Harrison hasn't really had a ton of opportunity, and obviously Queen is now in Pittsburgh. But to me, at that cost, it's a no-brainer. I know he has special teams value for them. I think his role on defense this year is the part that intrigues me the most in terms of the ways Baltimore can deploy him. And I think at that cost, it's totally fine. I thought it was a good move for him.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's one of the real forward-looking for moves for the Ravens. Getting a special teams ace in a year where special teams are going to be even more important. He's been one of the best tacklers and special teams players in the league since he's been in the league, really. But he will be the leader of this unit now, I think, unquestionably, with Stone gone, Hamilton too valuable to play on special teams. It'll be Malik Harrison who leads this special teams unit.
Yeah, and I think John Harbaugh's favorite signing of the offseason, I think, was Mr. Chris Board himself, who's now back in a Ravens uniform. Mm-hmm. And so he and Malik Harrison and that whole unit, it's a great point, too, because with the way the kickoff rules have changed and everything, and it's not just Baltimore, teams are going out there and signing special teams specific players. Not that I think Malik Harrison is going to be that. He'll be a big part of the special teams group. But we're seeing just a shift in the way teams are going about that position, something Baltimore has been doing for years and years, honestly, but it's going to be interesting to see the types of players we now get on those units as opposed to what we've seen in the past.
Really love to see any sort of an increase in complication to special teams rules, because I know the Ravens will find a way to take advantage of it. They're outstanding at the gaming element of special teams, all offense and defense for that matter too. I mean, they're very good at figuring out how penalties get called. They're very good at a lot of things, but they're exceptionally good at figuring out the nuances of special teams. And, you know, we've seen game ending holding calls on a punt and that have been the Super Bowl, not game ending, but holding right. call that nearly ended that game on the safety. Just a couple of examples of things that Harbaugh has really been very much on top of from his own perspective. Harrison last year was active in 16 to 19 games, started nine games, and his defensive role switched from being an inside linebacker to an outside linebacker, really reshaped his body. He was the early down Sam in the base defense. So when they played three linebackers on the field, three defensive linemen, they would put in Harrison and Robinson on the outside, and Harrison would be the Sam on that side, opposite, lined up opposite the tight end. I know you understand this, Kevin, there's people out there who don't know what a Sam is still. It was funny because his responsibility was almost entirely coverage. So you look at his sack total and say, well, he's playing outside linebacker. He had zero sacks. Well, he only rushed the quarterback 36 times the entire season. He dropped the cover on 59 pass plays by comparison. So 62% of the time he was dropping.
And we know that's a big responsibility for Baltimore. I mean, obviously, when Tyus Bowser was in that role, that was one of his main responsibilities, and he excelled at it when he was healthy. But I remember Baltimore, I mean, look, a couple of years ago, they put Harrison in that position where they were training him to essentially be like that versatile inside-outside guy who could back up Tyus Bowser and play that role. And obviously, with Bowser's health, unfortunately, going the way it did, he played such a vital role for them last season. But I feel like I don't know if underappreciated is the word I want to use. I think that's certainly one of them. But I feel like, to me, not a lot of people understood that, Harrison is, one, getting a ton of playing time here. And two, in those responsibilities, he actually did a decently good job at excelling at what he was asked to do. And that, to me, I think is a reason why we could see an even bigger increase, especially, I don't know if I'm going to call it uncertainty with the outside linebackers outside of guys like Kyle Van Noy and Adafe Owe, but there are certainly snaps up for grabs there.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And if the Ravens in particular don't have the same kind of season they had where they led most of the season, obviously this last year, if they're not in that same enviable position, they may have to defend the run some late in games to try and not let the other team run up the clock on them. And if that comes to pass, then I think we'll certainly see more of Harrison in that. He did end up playing about 225 snaps, 226. That includes the penalties. That's a PFF total. It's qualitatively correct, we'll just say, for purposes of that. He played some special team snaps. In addition to that, he's a five-unit special teams player, which is a little bit unusual. He plays all four of the kick and punt teams, but also plays the field goal block team.
Yeah, which, again, the Ravens find every single usage for these guys on special teams that they can, which is one of their calling cards. And I know a lot of people, I think special teams is going to be more valued this season, but the Ravens have won and lost games, more so won than they've lost, based off of their special teams contributions for guys. And we've seen guys like Marlon Humphrey and even you want to go back to Matthew Judon, like those guys will play special teams despite them having massive roles. Now, again, I agree with you, Ken, where Kyle Hamilton's a player that I don't think we're going to be seeing there. I would not put him on that unit. But Harrison's a player that I think is going to have a very big defensive role this season and get a lot of snaps, but then also kind of head up that special teams unit, like you said, giving him value in multiple different aspects, how the Ravens want to play these games.
Yeah, 357 special team snaps for Harrison last year. So it gives you an idea about a 3-2 relationship with his defensive snaps. So a very big deal. You mentioned the two-way player thing. In two-way here, I'm talking about the possibility of being an inside-outside guy. Yeah. Jarrett Johnson did it very successfully. Albert McClellan did it much more on a much more similar basis to what Malik did. As an NFL survivor with the Ravens for many years, when Terrell Suggs missed time in 2012, Albert McClellan was the guy who stepped in for him at outside linebacker there. In fact, he started a game with his hand in the dirt one time too, which is kind of funny actually to think about it. But then he also played inside linebacker when Mosley was hurt a little later on. So it was whatever you needed him for. You had a great special teams player with McClellan. You had a guy who could step in and do some very nice things for you, do some very keep things under control at that inside or outside spot. And I think Harrison, this is his big avenue now to dramatically increase his earnings in the NFL. And for him, I'm going to say dramatically, maybe a little bit of air quotes. Malik Harrison doesn't have $20 million more to earn in the NFL. That's just the nature of the game. There's no one who's going to be itching for him to play. It'd be an incredible turn of events if he somehow were to do that. The more likely event, I think, is that he's an NFL survivor who can play five or even seven more years. Maybe that would really be the outside, but five more years as a a player on the fringe of the roster, a member of the handshake crew towards the end of that, a leader on special teams for the whole time, and have a career very similar to Albert McClellan. And, you know, $2.6 million this year, it'll probably be less the next 4 years. But if it was the vet minimum, he has a chance to earn another $5 million. And boy, that should look pretty good.
Yeah, I think you take that 10 times out of 10. It's funny you mentioned that, Ken, because I remember back when Harrison was coming out of Ohio State in that 2020 draft, a lot of the conversation about him, you know, he was mocked anywhere. You know, I saw him in the second round, third, fourth. Ravens obviously got him in the third. But some of the things I remember reading about him were like, this guy is a 10-year player, but it's not in a star type of role. Where like, he's a guy that can go out there and produce and be effective and be productive, but it's not going to be he's going to start and play 95% of snaps and have 100 tackles in a season every year. It's a guy that can play multiple different roles and excel in that. And a lot of guys make livings that way. A lot of guys make successful careers that way. And it seems like that's the way that Malik Harrison is going, still playing a decently big role on this team, but not necessarily being the Roquan Smith of this defense.
Right. I mean, Geno Stone, you know, had an even bigger role last year in his last year as a Raven, but he was a combination defense and special teams guy. Levine, a guy who for many years was in that same role. Haruki Nakamura. There have been others that have been, you know, combination players. Really, Justice Hill, honestly, exceptional gunner. You know, he's on the kick coverage unit and he's obviously playing a fair amount of running back for the Ravens at this point, but they really re-signed him more for his special teams, or as much, I'll say, for his special teams as for what he brought to the offense prior to last year.
Right. And that's just, it's what you have to do in order to survive. The more you can do in today's game, the more options you have and the better chance you have to make this roster any roster and just contribute in general. So the Ravens have found guys, diamonds in the rough. I know Harrison was a pretty early mid-round pick for them, so it's not like he was a quote-unquote diamond in the rough or anything, but Baltimore has found ways to maximize guys' roles. And so Harrison came in as an inside linebacker, as someone who was projected as like an early down guy, and that's what it's going to be for him. But the Ravens found a way to, again, get him into that Sam role, back up Tyus Bowser. He slotted into that role. Now he's really effective at doing that. Not only that, but the special teams value as well, I think, is through the roof right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump right into it. Let's talk about what from your perspective, would look like, would a good season for Malik Harrison look like?
I think for me, playing both inside and outside effectively, but the thing that I'm looking for, and one of the reasons why he is one of the most intriguing players on this roster to me, is honestly bringing in Trenton Simpson to this conversation just very briefly about what does his role look like, because obviously Simpson by all accounts has looked great so far through the offseason workouts. Obviously pads haven't come on yet, so you know, you can take everything with a grain of salt, but we have seen in the past Baltimore with certain positions. I go back to, I think it was 2020 or 2021 with Tyree Phillips in that right guard job, and everybody thought, oh, this is Tyree Phillips's job, and then DJ Fluker ended up being that week one starter. The Ravens sometimes like to have just some veteran stability when it comes to some of these positions. And so for Malik Harrison, does this look like a split at the beginning of the season with Trenton Simpson inside while also kicking him out and having him play that Sam role? Or does Trenton Simpson take that immediately? Plus the fact that Baltimore is necessarily, I guess, married to keeping two inside linebackers on the field nearly as much as they were last season with Patrick Queen departing, and they can use dime linebacker looks, and they can use, I know from a detailed level, it's much more complicated than that. But at the end of the day, I think a successful season would be Harrison playing inside and outside effectively, heading up that special teams unit, and maybe just being a veteran presence in that linebacker room. Obviously, Roquan Smith is that leader and is that veteran presence, but Harrison maybe taking on a little bit of that role for some of the younger guys in that room, like a Trent Simpson.
There's a lot to buy into in what you said. To me, he doesn't have to play inside and outside. In fact, I think it's a great year for the Ravens if he never sees time at inside linebacker, because one of the things it means is probably that there's no injury to Roquan Smith.
Right.
So if his most likely place to move for me would be Mike. So I love him as an insurance policy at inside at Mike linebacker. I don't think he plays Will. But I also don't think Trenton Simpson moves over and plays Mike. I don't think that makes any sense. And I don't want to see Chris Board there again. So even on third down, he's not the player. I'm okay if Trenton Simpson moves to the Mike on third down and they bring in a dime back if Roquan gets hurt. I think that's a very high possibility if we go back to Malik as a Mike linebacker. I think at that point, Hamilton probably has the green dot, so you're not worried about who you take off at linebacker, and you really are just trying to figure out who you really want on as your two inside spots there. And I think it'd probably be Dime linebacker and Simpson would be the two I would go with on passing downs, and then Harrison and Simpson on non-passing downs. But you made the point earlier. We don't know who Simpson is right now. And we're going to find out this year whether he can really handle most of a three-down role. I do believe that Orr is probably going to be have a predilection to give him that opportunity. So yeah. We'll see if that works out. Good season for me. I'll just read it real quick. Makes the roster, active for 15-plus games, plays base outside linebacker Sam, but otherwise sparingly on defense. Value as a special teams player. It makes him a priority signing for 2025. I think all of that... Yeah, the 60th percentile, I don't think that's a stretch at any rate. He played well enough at Sam, both in terms of run and pass, that he should be able to do that.
Yeah, again, you're not placing the weight of the world on him to go out there and be this defense's identity. But I think in the role that he is, if he doesn't play and doesn't play a lot on the inside, I agree with you where that's probably the best case for him. But if he has to step up and play in there, which I'm sure he will at some points, just being a stable presence for them while also, again, just excelling in coverage. I think it's so important for them to get productive snaps out of that position at Sam. And again, we saw how good this defense could be, first of all, last year when Harrison was doing his thing, but also with Tyus Bowser when he was effective in that role. So the Sam position, I think, is more of an underrated one when it comes to this defense in general, but it's a pretty big success barometer when it comes to how good a defense could play.
Yeah. They did not make use of the Sam to drop too much last year, with the exception of what Harrison did. The other outside linebackers, Clowney and Van Noy, when they played over there, didn't drop very much at all. So, it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see if some of that makes a comeback. We know that Orr was a partial architect of what happened with McDonald, or maybe overstating his role to say a partial architect, but a significant implementer of whatever McDonald is. So you have to feel like he would buy into a lot of McDonald's strategies, and a lot of those would be kept the same since they were so successful on defense last year. But on the other hand, I also have to feel that Orr is going to put some of his own wrinkles into this. You've got a different DBs coach, so you've got a possibility that some of that's going to change, and it'll be interesting to see how it happens. What does a great season look like to you?
Oh, a great season is probably, I mean, I think if he has to have a great season, it's if there is an injury. And that's unfortunate, because I think a great season for him is probably him stepping into a role and getting 70 plus tackles and holding up in coverage and whatnot. But how is he going to get 70 plus tackles is if he's playing a big defensive role. And if he's playing a big defensive role, especially on the inside, that probably means Roquan went down with something and he has to step in. Now, obviously no one is Roquan Smith. There's going to be some level of a drop off between Roquan and the next guy, but Harrison could earn himself a lot of money if that happens. Obviously, that is not ideal from a Ravens perspective, but kind of piggybacking off the last thing, it's almost like, you know, we can talk about, oh, if he's just solid and if he just does this, it's a great season. But realistically, a great season for him would be going out there and producing and racking up stats. And while staying consistent, but I think the only way that happens is if some sort of a health thing pops up for him.
Yeah. I came to the same conclusion going through this as you did. I'll just read what I have since it's quite similar. Plays 16 plus regular season games, plugs a key defensive hole at either outside linebacker or Mike for 2+ games. Since he already plays on the outside linebacker position, that means he plays more there, obviously, than he would be playing otherwise. Or I think the more likely thing is they figure out they need him at Mike for 2+ games because either Roquan gets hurt or Simpson isn't ready for some component of his role or whatever it might be. He contributes in a way that makes us remember LJ Fort, Geno Stone, Albert McClellan, Anthony Levine as a core special teams player who makes at least one big play on defense to help win a game while otherwise providing solid quality play both on special teams and defense. With his leadership, the special teams coverage and return units combined to finish in the top five in the NFL. They don't have to be in the top five in everything, but if they on a combined basis or their average rank of those coverage and return units is in the top five, I'll then think that the Ravens are back where they belong. And I think then Harrison is going to deserve a substantial amount of that credit.
Yeah, and I mean, we still talk about guys like McClellan and Levine and those like core special teams guys who also did have roles to play on defense. And if you can put your name in that territory, I think that gives you, one, a spot in Ravens history, but two, that means you're effectively producing. We can even go back to guys like when they signed Brendan Iabendegio and Corey Graham, who ended up, you know, came over from Chicago as a big special teams guy, but ended up playing a massive role in that Super Bowl team. So if he can have that level of an impact, I think you should be over the moon if you're Malik Harrison.
Right. I would agree. Well, let's move on. I talk about Zay Flowers. I know when you see those two names, this is probably the one you're tuning in to hear about. Certainly had an outstanding rookie season. The thing that is striking about him is the suddenness as an athlete, extremely low center of gravity, extremely quick, great change of direction skills show up there. You know, he surprisingly is not the greatest route runner, which is, by the way, fantastic that he can still grow into this and still play at such a high level on basically what is mostly suddenness as opposed to actively trying to mislead the cornerback opposite him.
I think to me, it's he has this explosiveness about him that I think when you talk about potential with Zay, there's still so much in the fact that he was able to step in. One of my bold predictions for the year last year was that, okay, by the end of the season, Zay is going to be the number one receiver on this team. He was the number one receiver by the time week one ended.
Yeah.
Right away. There was no doubt that he was the number one on this team. So to me, it's like, I don't even know if like explosive is the word I want to use. Like it's like the twitch almost of his routes, which he uses that to deceive the corners, like you said. But I think he already has so many of those tools, and it's just part of being a rookie. It's like you have all this stuff, you have all these traits, but you don't necessarily know how to use all of them in combination with one another yet. So I think we saw a lot of potential from him in terms of turning all of that, just, you know, this over here and this over there and this over here, all just combining it together and making it into, okay, he's now not just a good route runner, he's an exceptional route runner. So I think to me, everybody looked at his rookie season and was like, okay, this is Zay Flowers. But I say, no, this is not Zay Flowers. There are still multiple levels that he can get to here.
Yeah, the room for growth is very exciting. I also thought he was very miscast, both in terms of how he could help the Ravens most and in terms of the Ravens offense really providing what Monken claimed it would be. But so Monken talked about defending every blade of grass, and you're a balanced offense if you force the opposing defense to cover as, you know, uncomfortably cover as much ground as they possibly can, kind of thing. I'm adding words to his description of it. But they really kind of failed in that when they started right off the bat using Flowers as a gadget player in week one. And just, you know, catches behind the line of scrimmage, that's not, you know, he's not attracting any safety attention there other than the safety who's coming downhill then trying to make the tackle along with everybody else. And it's not to say that he can't provide some value in that way, but there's other guys who can do that. Devin Duvernay, you know, yeah. Hill, Mitchell, they were all, you know, outstanding players for as gadget options. And you know, the guy you really need to peel the top off the defense is Zay Flowers. He's the guy who's got to be able to go deep, draw safety attention, and create really easy play action throws in the middle of the field for Lamar, to tight ends, to Bateman a lot of the time. And, you know, it was frustrating to not see him used that way. I have some statistics, by the way, that kind of back this up. The first nine games he played, he had 60 targets for an average of 8.0 ADOT. Okay, so a lot of targets were behind the line of scrimmage. And he had 481 yards. He was at 8.0 yards. That's 8.0 ADOT. And then for the remainder of the year, he had 56 targets for 545 yards, 575 yards, I should say, which is 10.3 in ADOT. So there's a big difference in terms of how far he was from the line of scrimmage when he was being targeted in that second half of the season. I think, you know, it was to Monken's credit, he eventually got it right. It was a few less targets in that second half of the year. That's fine. A few less deeper targets is just fine. But he had much more impact on the offense. And you look at how the tight ends flourished this last year after years of too many contested catches. Targets were cut dramatically, but productivity per catch was way up, with a passer rating thrown to the tight ends of 140 plus, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions to the tight ends. And so, you know, I've said this on a couple different shows, so I apologize for the repetition, but there's only two results in gambling. Like if you have any single result comes out, a hand of blackjack, whatever it might be, you're either pissed off because you lost or you're pissed off because you didn't bet enough. In this case, the Ravens are the better of the two pissed off. They're pissed off because they didn't bet enough.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And it was one of the things that I hoped we were to talk about tonight. And I'm glad we are, because it felt forced early in the season, where Monken tried to use him in a role that was it's just not a Zay Flowers role. And to your point, like, it's not like they can never use him as a reverse guy or a sweep guy or something mm-hmm. like that. But it was forced, and it's not like it was working. It was forced and it wasn't working. It felt like defenses were sniffing it out, and he didn't necessarily, like, it just didn't fit who he was and who he is as a player. And then as they moved away from that, as the season went on, yeah, as you just talked about, the productivity increased overall, which is what you're looking for. And then they got Keaton involved as he got back before he got injured. But I had kind of been saying when they were doing that, it's like Devin Duvernay just makes so much more sense here. In this role, and it feels like they are limiting their offense because they're using a player who is a three-level receiver and, as you talked about, can take the top.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Off of the defense, and they're putting him behind the line of scrimmage, and he's getting 2 yards on these reverse and sweep plays when realistically you can go out there and pick up first downs just using him in the role he's supposed to be used. And so I'm with you. I'm glad Monken got it right. They moved away from it, and we saw the offensive productivity increase just by proxy of not doing it, which I thought was great.
Do you think there's any risk that they'll go back to a higher level of gadget usage in 2023, or 2024? Do you think it's more likely we'll see an even more deep threat usage from Flowers in 24?
I think they might try it again, but I would be shocked if they do it to the level they tried it last season. I thought last year it was Monken's first year, the first month of the season. He was trying to figure out his personnel, what would work in game situations, what wouldn't. And obviously there's only so much experimenting you should be doing when the games count, and that is not a lot of it. But I do think that for me, they might want to try to unlock that again, especially because we don't know when Keaton comes back. And I think after Duvernay he's now in Jacksonville. Who would that guy be for them? Is it going to be
Ali or?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A guy like Rasheen Ali, someone like that. Or are they going to try to do it with Flowers again because he can, quote unquote, demand the attention of the defense, but he was demanding the wrong type of attention last year, and that doesn't really work out.
They have three guys right now, and one of them, honestly, the other deep threat they now have is Tez Walker, who's a 436 yep. guy. So, he certifiably should be able to take the top off of defense. He's a big player that you can make contested throws to, and he gives you a chance on those. So hopefully that will work out for them. And certainly his go-to route all of college has been, post corner and go, not not hitch routes, which is something he needs to work on. But I think he will be a player who draws safety attention, and that might might lead to a little more short route usage on Flowers. I really don't like it. I like Flowers crossing plenty. I love Flowers. Any chance where Flowers has a cross to have a corner trailing him, catch the ball crossing, and have a chance to outrun somebody on half field, I love that. I love that option. So lots of times that can happen, but we'll see how it works out. I hope his A dot stays comfortably north of 10 for this entire season, but we'll see about that. He had only had a catch rate of 62.6% at Boston College that went to 71.3% in Baltimore. That was really a nice step forward for him. Now, there were a lot of behind the line of scrimmage throws, and you're going to complete a very high percentage of those, but they had those at Boston College too. And you know, they obviously, there's a big difference probably in the quarterback between the two locations, but you know, that was really nice to see.
Yeah. And again, he wasn't perfect, but I think it was a nice step up. And for me, one of the big concerns for him coming out of school was the drops and whether that would translate over. And of course, he had some pretty big ones and moments. But yeah, I thought that for me, it was an overall very solid season from him. I mean, really outside of that Pittsburgh game. And I think that Indy one, if I'm remembering right, he might have had one that was big.
He might have had a drop in the Indy game, but the big play he had in the Indy game was being sent back to return right. The kickoff, yep, and then taking a fair catch when he should have run it. And they thought they'd communicated to him properly from the sidelines. And probably a place where Harbaugh just needed to use a timeout, frankly. You've got a rookie back there, you've told him one thing, you think you've signaled him another, just call timeout, damn it. I mean, you know, it's not like the Ravens needed the timeout for anything.
No. Yeah, I think they had two of them left, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, you can't take them with you. So yeah, might as well use them.
The other thing I don't think a lot of people realize, and some people realize that on Mitchell, because we talked about it a lot last year, just how many missed tackles Mitchell forced. Now, Mitchell and Flowers are similar in certain respects, both being smaller athletes, low center of gravity, very good contact balance in one case, and in both cases, extremely elusive, and they can make people make mistakes in the open field trying to tackle them. And that's the combination of probably contact balance is the 1 point factor, and elusiveness and speed being a 2 or 3 point factor, led to a lot of missed tackles forced. So he had 21 missed tackles forced, which was tied for fourth in the entire NFL last year. And that helped fuel a yak that was respectable at 5.2 yards yak per reception, 13th of 37 receivers who had at least 98 targets. I just picked 98 targets, by the way, because that was half of the maximum targets that anybody had. So that's what PFF gives you. I didn't change it to a custom number, but I could have reduced it to get a larger group. And I think he probably would have even looked better. Yeah. Were that the case, but it wouldn't shock me if he had an even better yak year, even though, you know, obviously when he gets the ball thrown behind him behind the line of scrimmage, he's often in a position where he can pick up some significant red yards before they start counting for real, and so he may even generate a larger yak number.
Yeah, his ability to make defenders miss, and it brings me back to something Peter King said during some of the early days of Ravens training camp last year, where he was out there watching and he ended up saying, look, if you're not holding Zay Flowers, or you're not actively tackling him before the ball gets there, if you leave him in one-on-one situations, he's going to, one, beat the corner, and two, he's going to burn the corner when he catches the ball and just run. And so to me, the other part of the yak too is when it comes to some of these deep passing game throws, obviously Lamar over these last couple of seasons, and it's not all just on Lamar. I don't want to just blame the deep passing woes on one person, because that's not fair. Because it's Lamar, it's the wide receivers, it's everybody. But I do think if they take more early deep shots, and Zay Flowers is a big part of that, obviously if he's able to catch and run with those balls, that is going to increase the yak amount by a lot. But obviously what we're talking about is more the short intermediate stuff, 5, 10, 15 yards down the field, and then he can take that ball, juke a guy, and go. So I think either way, I'm expecting a better yak year from him too, but I think the way that he can do it is just, it's so many different ways.
We didn't mention Deonte Hardy as a guy who'd help him. We did mention Tez Walker, but another guy who can help take the top off of defense, who can be a deep threat. Hardy in some ways, and by the way, not only that, can be a gadget player. Yes. So they've got Hill, Hardy, and Ali at the least among players who kind of make a lot of sense for that role. And both Hill and Ali give you a pony backfield opportunity with Derrick Henry, because oftentimes you want to keep Derrick Henry on the field, not necessarily on third down, but maybe you do because he's a good pass blocker. The thing you get, though, is you get another misdirection threat when you're going to run the football with Henry, or or if you want, jet motion it, because Henry and Lamar are going to be a very powerful duo, I think, for controlling linebacker read steps. And adding an extra element to that, even if all you're doing is throwing a play action pass to the tight end, should really screw up defenses in a big way.
Yeah, both those guys just have so much gravity to them, where obviously when it was Gus or JK back in that backfield, obviously Lamar carries more gravity, and naturally that's going to be the guy they're more concerned about. Well, now with Derrick Henry in the fold, it's like, pick your poison, which one do we choose? And that obviously goes into the point of which personnel do you bring in? Do you bring in the heavy personnel for Henry? Do you bring in the faster personnel for Lamar? I think play action is going to be such a huge part of what Baltimore does, and particularly with Flowers. If you can freeze a linebacker or freeze a safety with some of that, and you bring in heavy personnel, you have Flowers on the outside, and you can get him one-on-one, and that safety help either has to creep down because they think a run is coming or whatnot, Flowers can get over top of that corner. He can slant it inside. I mean, he can do so many different things, and so that's where I think In a vacuum, people look at the Derrick Henry signing and they say, oh, that's a really good running back and still at the top of his game, or at least hopefully at the top of his game for the whole year. But in reality, he just brings that extra element of just being Derrick Henry that I think opens up and frees things up for a lot of different people on the offense too.
Yeah, if Henry will be entirely worth his salt and more important, the cap space spent on him, if he has a healthy year, because I think that will be enough to pull people. But if it's quite, but he has not had the success rate in recent years that we've seen out of any of the Ravens running backs. But all the Ravens running backs, the point will be made by other people that they didn't have Lamar Jackson to play with, and that's true too. So the combination should be quite good if Henry can stay healthy, and that will be a big deciding factor. They certifiably are getting an outstanding pass blocker in Henry, so that should be one of the things that they do really benefit from.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think something that I'm curious about, just in terms of what the Ravens end up doing, is how much do they utilize their running backs out of the backfield, and how much does that change their offense in terms of getting them involved in the passing game, particularly Derrick Henry? And then does that even draw more attention away from some of the guys like, say, Flowers? I think they really wanted to do it in 2021. They talked about it all offseason, and obviously Gus and JK both tore their ACL, and that kind of threw their whole plan into the fire. They couldn't do it as much anymore because they had to bring in guys like Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell and Latavius Murray. But I think that for now, I think they plan on utilizing Henry out of the backfield, and I think that can open up things for Zay and the rest of these receivers and tight ends too.
All right, well, let's jump in and talk about what a good season looks like for Zay Flowers this year. What would you want from him?
I think a good year is at least matching, if not exceeding, well, I think definitely exceeding the totals that he had last season. I think, to me, fully establishing that he is a wide receiver one. And I think, again, Flowers, he's not like the prototypical build of what everybody thinks is like a top NFL receiver. He doesn't have the AJ Brown build, doesn't have the DK Metcalf build. Doesn't mean he's not a really talented player that can step into that role. I would probably say, look, he almost had 1,000 last season. He was at, I think, 850 or 858, right around that for last season. Mm-hmm. I think, look, cracking 1,000, I would expect Baltimore to throw the ball a little more this season while still leaning into a run-first identity. I think, again, you have to stick with that. But I expect them to throw the ball. But the thing that I'm interested in, and this, again, will dictate good to great year for Zay, is how much more Lamar spreads the ball out this year. Because historically, in this Lamar Jackson era, if your name is not Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, or Zay Flowers, you're not getting a ton of targets per game. I think that has the real possibility to change with hopefully Isaiah Likely. Feels like they want to get Bateman more involved. So does that mean Flowers, do his targets per game go down a little bit while everybody else's go up? Does that take away from Mark Andrews? What does that look like? So I'm not necessarily so hung up on the yards total for me, because I think the offense could look a little bit different. But if he can, one, stay healthy, and two, not only produce, but take attention away from the other guys, become so much of a threat that Bateman gets one-on-one opportunities, Likely, and whoever gets one-on-one opportunities, you become that gravitating presence. That, to me, is a good year for Zay Flowers.
Okay, outstanding stuff. I agree with everything you said. I'm just going to read mine verbatim, but you're going to see it's extremely similar. Plays 14-plus games in a season with an ADOT of 10.2-plus. So they're using him on the longer routes, as I said. Gravitational impact on safeties is apparent and creates better underneath opportunities. That obviously means for others, because it's not going to be him. Uses combination of hitch and deep routes effectively to keep defenses honest. So I want to see lots of corner post and go from him. I also want to see lots of hitch routes, which force the defender to stay honest. What that'll also mean is there is action happening at the top of the stem, whether by suddenness, which would not be a big gain, he starts winning more, or by actual ability to read leverage and ability to throw the opponent off and wait for him to make a misstep to go. However he derives value from that, I think that is the opportunity for a really big gain from Zay Flowers. I'm not expecting it in a good year, but I'm just going to say a good combination of hitch and deep routes is going to give him what he needs in order to have the opportunities to make that cornerback opposite him make the wrong choice. That also will lead to more penalties, by the way. Here is the key factor. If the passing offense is as effective as it was in 2023 in terms of per play efficiency, I say Zay Flowers has had a good year. I don't really care about his yardage either. I don't care if the yards are going to him. I want him to be the gravitational impact that where we saw him get open because Nelson Aguilar dragged the safety off him and for the Rams right. touchdown. I want to see him doing it for other players this year on a regular basis. And primarily, I think the big opportunity is in tight end and mid-range targets to Bateman, probably creating much more yardage than he did this last year.
Right. He has so many things he can do and so many routes he can run. And I think if we see that improvement this season from him, again, having all of this stuff and just combining it together and becoming a great route runner, it makes him so much more of that threat. But being able to, again, there are multiple directions a second year in the NFL can go. Obviously, we know about the sophomore slumps and things that can happen there. But I think for him, with having as big of a role as he has had as a rookie, and they've put so much stress, they didn't, and this even extends to Bateman too, they didn't bring in anybody to really compete for those targets or those snaps. Like, it's going to go to Flowers, it's going to go to Bateman, obviously likely is going to have a bigger role, but there was every opportunity here, especially with Zay Flowers going through his first NFL offseason with, you know, full training, whatever it is, working out and having that offseason to get better. I expect him to come in and show off that improvement. And obviously the drops, hopefully he can just continue to get better. Again, he wasn't necessarily terrible with the drops last season, but again, if you continue to get that catch percentage up, obviously everybody looks back at the AFC Championship game with that fumble and the thing that happened there. So if he can bounce back from that, I think it would be a really nice little redemption story for him and a guy that had a great year in general anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Take us through. What does a great season look like for you?
Yeah. I think to me, just really becoming, I don't want to say the hub because obviously Mark Andrews and Lamar have that connection and that's not going anywhere. But if he can essentially get up to the Mark Andrews level of trust with Lamar, where we know that Andrews and Lamar have that connection, that bond, it can't be broken. It's just so natural, essentially almost street ball for those guys. If Flowers can take that connection and essentially get up there, obviously I think that would result in maybe the same amount of targets, and Lamar's going to start to favor, which again, if the yards are coming, I don't care how they come. If Lamar runs for six, throws for six, runs for a touchdown, throws, if Zay gets it, I don't care how it happens, just get the yards and score the points. But if he can get up to that level of trust with Lamar as Mark Andrews has with Lamar, I think it opens up so much more for them, because there is an element to, again, running a play, running a route and having that happen. But there's just such a feel that Andrews has for Lamar and that Lamar has for Andrews of like, I know this guy's going to be in this spot. I trust him. We've gone over this so many times. I think for me, on top of everything that I kind of mentioned with the good year for Zay, if he can add that element of just being one of Lamar's top trusted targets, which he already is.
I think he is already too.
But if he can get up to that, like, all right, I know exactly where you're going to be and there's no doubt about it. And Lamar can just say, I'm going to throw this ball to you. I know you're going to be there. There's that element already, but if he can get up to that talent with Mark Andrews the way that he has it with Lamar, I think that's a great year for him.
You know, we see that Lamar and Zay seem to have a relationship in terms of getting together during the offseason that is really going to pay dividends for him. Lamar has even said some things recently that people are going to have to get together in South Florida if they want to. A lot of people don't want to leave their own state. Well, that's perfectly reasonable, by the way. I mean, he should be in charge of putting together the field and whatnot, or having somebody do it, obviously, but to get a place where they can get together and throw the ball around. But it's not unreasonable for the quarterback to designate the place where that's going to happen. And Zay has a big advantage because he'll never miss a day. I don't believe in terms of available practice with Lamar. I'll tell you what I have for a great season is very similar. Play 16 plus games, modest across the board improvements statistically. Okay, I'll get to what I mean. 120 targets, I think, would be reasonable. I think he had 108 this last year with 80 to 85 catches, a yards per target of 9. 120 catches at a yards per target of 9 is 1,080 yards. That would be a big improvement. And that would be certainly a great season. That'd be in the 80th percentile from my perspective. 7+ TDs I'm putting on that, with highlights that keep him as one of the key players that defenses need to control every single week. So we want them to be game planning against Zay Flowers. It will mean less targets for Zay Flowers than might otherwise occur, but it should be more opportunity for other players. It becomes clear he's too valuable to be used as a gadget player, and that role goes to other players. Hardy, Hill, Ali, and possibly Mitchell, if he returns, all are candidates, as his targets gravitate towards longer ADOTs. Route running, this is important, takes a notable step forward in terms of deceptive value. Now, he's a sudden athlete, and he can get away with that. It seems silly to even be talking about this with a 22-year-old player or whatever he is right now. He might not even be 22 yet, but that you have to start worrying about his speed declining. But the truth is, football players, with every soft tissue injury, they probably lose a little bit of speed. And it is something that he's going to have to be a better route runner to keep up to where he was with his suddenness in this first year, because that won't be there 4 years from now, 3 years from now. And even this year, if he has some injuries, he may be limited in some ways, that where route running is going to be a very important part of being able to get significant separation. So hopefully that will improve. Passing offense takes a step forward in per play productivity from 2023. By the way, that would be remarkable if the overall offense, I mean, Lamar just won the freaking MVP. If the offense were truly to take an overall step forward, it would be truly remarkable, with the receivers benefiting from Flowers attracting the safety help and more effective play action from the combination of Henry and Lamar that we talked about earlier. I think those things together make a great season. He doesn't need to go for 1,200 or 1,400 yards or any of these other astronomical fantasy football numbers, because that's not who the Baltimore Ravens are. They're hopefully, yep, if Flowers is that successful, if the passing game that's successful, they're already going to be leading a lot of games 21-7 at the half, 21-3 at the half. The second halves are going to look like a lot of 2003 Ravens football, where they're running the ball with a power back behind, hopefully, a big and strong offensive line that can move people.
Yeah, and that's what Todd Monken alluded to, talking to the media a couple of weeks ago and saying, look, a successful season for Derrick Henry is he runs it 300 times because they're winning the games and they run the clock out. And by proxy, that means the passing offense is hitting on all cylinders. They're getting up big early and they're using their receivers effectively. So if Zay can get up to a point where, whether he is a mini hub of the offense or he and Lamar have that connection or he is getting more yards per target, whatever that is, it just helps everybody out. And he's in a role this season, in a second season, having that much responsibility. Obviously, he earned that right last season with how his year went. But I'm interested to see how this offense ends up working with Derrick Henry and with what I think is going to be an increased role for Isaiah Likely this season and where those targets end up going. But again, it doesn't matter who they go to. If Zay is creating and wreaking havoc on these opposing defenses and these defensive backs and making them pay attention to him in ways that we didn't see last season, it makes the entire offense better.
Yeah. All right. Excited to look forward to what this offense might look like this year. I think it probably is inevitable that the defense is going to take a step backward in some ways. 60 sack years don't happen every year. McDonald had a wonderful, impact on this defense. We probably will see a little more passing just because the Ravens are likely going to be playing from behind more than they did in 23. But I would not be one of these people who is going to bet on the Ravens wide receivers from a fantasy football standpoint if you have to take them all for some reason. I think this is a team that. You know, their identity is to get ahead, get the lead early, not have flashy fourth quarter comeback numbers because they don't need them. And hopefully that leads to good things.
Yeah. I put out the splits earlier today. And again, I don't really put too much stock into this, but they had 541 rushes, which ranked first in the league last year, and then 494 passes, which was tied for 30th. Oh, again, that's very circumstantial, right? They were up big in a lot of games. They ran the clock out. Yep. So obviously by proxy, they are not going to throw the ball as much when they're up by 30. And that to me makes an impact on just how those splits end up being put out.
They're also one of only two or three teams in the entire NFL who runs the ball with a positive expected points added.
Right.
And people look at EPA and you're not really running the ball. Most of the time they run the ball, they're not running for expected points, although they can do it positively. They're running for expected wins in the second half. And that's where expected points models kind of break down, is you should be playing for expected wins, because the second half of almost every NFL game is one team's trying like hell to catch up and the other team's trying like hell to get the game over with. And guess what? Those demand different kinds of play calls. So yeah. Anyway, no, Kevin, always
I was going to say, it's exactly right, because I think with Baltimore, even if you want to go and look, there are multiple years of Ravens Super Bowl. We can talk about this for whether it's last year or 2019, like a bunch of these dominant seasons. But at the end of the day, the Ravens, I think, in terms of being more balanced, is important for their offense. I think it's important for them to be a more quote unquote balanced team next season. But they are still a run first team, and I don't expect them to all of a sudden just completely transition in year two of Todd Monken's offense into this air raid offense where they completely abandon that identity. They abandoned it in the championship game, and look how that went for them. It's obviously their identity that they should lean into, but that doesn't mean that these receivers and these tight ends can't benefit from having a more balanced year. But it just depends how this team plays. And I think that's why you can't just look at those splits face value and say, oh, okay, they didn't pass the ball a lot. Obviously there's a reason for that.
Very much so. Always a pleasure, Kevin, to talk football with you. Tell folks where they can find your stuff online.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a blast to be here with you, Ken. Appreciate you having me. You can find me over on Locked On Ravens. So we do 5 days a week of Ravens content, whether you like to watch in video form on YouTube or over there, also in audio form. People prefer to listen to podcasts. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, so Spotify, Apple, wherever. I also write for the Ravens Wire, so you can find my written content over there. I do some work for Bleacher Report as well. And also on the Ryan Ripken Show, we cover Ravens, Orioles, Baltimore sports, and just sports in general. So appreciate you having me, Ken. Always a fun time.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DM's always open on Twitter. I'd love to have you for a recollection series. Still a little bit of time to get one of those in. They'll be continuing to filter out as we get towards the regular season even. But also, if you have a concern about the 2024 Baltimore Ravens, I'm doing a concerns series. Try and keep yours narrow. Usually inside a positional group, potentially a scheme issue, potentially a positional group on defense or offense, but we can talk through that. I can make sure we have what I think will be a compelling and interesting show about that. Again, DM me and I will get back to you very quickly. Kevin, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks again, Ken. Always appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.